broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 803 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did you see the way Aaron Rodgers walked into camp yesterday?
Yeah, Nicolas Cage.
As Nicolas Cage and Con Air.
He does that. Aaron likes to have a little fun like that.
Yeah.
By the way, one of my sons thought they saw Aaron Rodgers. They're almost positive they saw Aaron Rodgers when we landed on the 19th in Denver. It might have been him, too, because, you know, he spent some time.
Oh, no. Well, what's her name?
Shayna Woodley or whatever.
Yeah.
His girlfriend. She was Shalene, in that area. It's Woodley. Yeah.
Yeah, something Woodley.
Like that.
Whatever.
So it might have been him. I didn't see him.
But they're not together anymore.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, but maybe he still goes there. He loves Colorado.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's great. I mean, Colorado's beautiful. It was.
Did you smoke any weed?
No, I did not. But I went into a spot that had a combination. I sent it to you.
I saw it. Frisbees and weed.
There's Frisbees. The discs are right here. They were growing their own buds. They had a grow house. And here's the Frisbee. And here's the discs. And I went in there to go check out a disc. And I'm like, hey, can I take a picture of your entire grow house here? Oh, yeah, no problem.
Sean, if you went there and they
now
had
look at Sean.
Now,
does Sean look like
Sean
Sean's
looks
got a
like
look.
Aaron Rodgers?
He's
hair.
Got a look.
He's got
yeah.
Aaron Rodgers' hair.
He's got a look.
If you had gone there and there was a grow house with a bunch of Frisbees, which would you grab, the Frisbees or the weed?
It is a dispensary that has discs.
Yeah, I mean, I am a big Frisbee golf fan. I've played a lot of Frisbee golf in my day.
You look like you have, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, they look similar. No, this was very on brand.
So which one would you grab?
To have the grow house and the disc?
I'll give you the option. Frisbee, weed, both.
Colorado, it's a
both.
100%
John says both.
In Colorado, it's a both thing.
Yeah.
Like, I went out to
Lake
Dillon.
Did your kids smoke any weed while they were there?
No, they did not.
They didn't?
But in Lake Dillon, they would travel in packs of five. And, I mean, it is so, like, central casting could not have tats on the arms, tats on the legs, a beanie. One guy was wearing a beanie because you're also in the 70s, like in the summer. It's 70 degrees there in the middle of the afternoon. And the guys are smoking out on the course. They've got a black lab. They're walking dogs while they go play, shirts off. It's like you really couldn't cast. This is what everyone thinks disc golf is what Colorado looks like. And to see a dispensary that has all the discs, I went in there to get a disc for when we play, and I'm like, wow, they've got a whole big, like, you can see these big buds growing off.
Big buds.
The plants are huge.
Yes.
They're enormous.
And you just took the discs. Very disappointing. Very disappointing. I was there.
Or did I?
I was there. I didn't smoke any weed when I went there either.
Yeah.
But they've got different ones where you're not. See, I stopped smoking weed because it made me paranoid. I was like, I can't die. I sit in the corner and I just.
And it's illegal in the state.
Was it?
Yeah, you weren't supposed to.
And so I haven't smoked. I don't know how long. It's been a long time since I smoked weed. But if they had some that were anti-paranoid, they make that now,
no,
don't they?
They
got some for you to sleep. They got some for
MedMen. I went into MedMen in Colorado and California. Money Smith, it was Eric Layton told me, you got to go into MedMen. He goes, just for the experience of it all, when I was in California, it was 18 or 19. You go in, and it's like you're going to an Apple store. Somebody greets you there with an iPad there. Hello, sir. How are you? They're all dressed in uniforms like, hey, red shirts, welcome to MedMen. Like, so what do you, and they'll explain everything to you. And what we do is we have a ratio of THC to CBD, and we get this. And so, because in California, the conversation was about, like, Eric and I were having a conversation. He goes, there's actors here who will take a pen and they'll smoke before, like, you know, in pen form.
You get a little try, you get a little taste.
And he said it actually sharp. I said, sharpens you up.
Wow.
He goes, yeah, no. It lifts.
Do you think
he
we should do something before the show?
He said, no. They will tell you. The guy goes, what do you do for a living? And I told him. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, we've got something here that'll actually get you ready for your show. You'll be in a great mood. He said, you'll be in a great mood.
I want to do the show.
He said, you'll be more alert. I said, more alert? This is the way I came
you'd
up.
You'd be in a rabbit hole watching.
He tells me, he said, rabbits. Listen, I've done shows before with Adderall. And let me tell you, some of my best shows, but some of the craziest shows, too. Because it is high energy, but way all over the place. I'm just telling you that. You don't want me on Adderall or this other stuff that I take that's all natural that is supposed to focus me in whenever I am writing. It's called Modafinil, and you can order it online. But they also were called Provigils, and they're given to fighter pilots. And I learned about it whenever I was watching The Brink, that Eric Layden was in that too. And these Pro-Vs, well, so there was a scout for an NFL team whose wife was not a manager, but like a personal assistant to Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, but mostly Angelina Jolie when they were together. And she told her husband, who was the scout, you know, the scout, Sato, and he was telling me stories about, you know, his wife was the assistant for Angelina Jolie. Very, very close. When Angelina and Brad Pitt broke up, he knew Brad Pitt. They would hang out sometime, double date. And this guy, you couldn't see him more. Like, this guy is just kind of a Midwestern-looking guy, a little bit heavier set, good dude to talk to, hang out, drink beers with. And he's like, dude, me and Brad would be just kicking it. Then whenever they broke up because all the stuff that happened on the plane, I'd get a call from Brad, and I'd be talking to him, and he's real down. And he's like, man, I just don't know what to do. And he said, at like the 50-minute mark, I'm like, dude, I got to hang up with Brad Pitt. I'm sorry, Brad. I got to get to this. And he said he was in Oregon or somewhere in the West, and he was about to go to some piddly, like Eastern Washington, to go write up a couple tackles. He had to go in and talk to the coaches. And he looks down on the phone ring. He's like, oh, Brad Pitt. I don't want to talk to this guy.
Do you know Brad Pitt's from Springfield? A guy.
Missouri?
Yeah, Springfield, Missouri. Yeah. And a guy who JT played football with, his mom went to high school with Brad Pitt. She said he was just a guy.
Yeah, just a guy.
Just a guy.
Well, so anyway.
He wasn't like a model superstar. He was just a guy.
I think a lot of guys are like that. It doesn't feel like girls come from nowhere, but guys sometimes
he came
can.
Back to Springfield, and he saw her, and she didn't say anything. And Brad Pitt went up to her and got, you don't even say hello? And she was like, I don't want to bother you.
You're Brad Pitt.
He was like, what are you talking about?
So this stuff, these Pro-Vs, these Modafinil, you know, they make you hyper-focus. Like, they make you hyper-focus. And so some scouts for this team that I know would take them before they had their 5 and 6 hour meetings where they would have to read, you know, 200 players. It was these long, long meetings. And these scouts would take them because they knew about it, because actors would take it to memorize their lines. So this is something that actors would take to memorize lines. And so the scouts started doing it so they could stay alert during these meetings. Well, it got to me, so I got some, and I would take it for when I had long hours to write. I take a half but before I'm going to write up players. Well, here's the problem for me as somebody who's more ADD. I will hyper focus when I take that on whatever's in front of me. So if I get on Twitter, I'll be on Twitter. If I'm on a YouTube video rabbit hole,
yeah,
I am so locked in.
You'll be done.
That it will ruin me for the whole day.
You can't do that. Jackie's right about this. So actual golf advertises nice watches and luxury vehicles. Frisbee golf slings weed and beanies. That is so true.
I mean,
true.
It's not inaccurate.
Well,
I'm just telling you, Colorado's like drive around Houston. You see, guys, they do like to. It's really very friendly. People like to sometimes bring coolers, dogs. Colorado was exactly what you think of as disc golf.
Did you see Bill Burr's special at Red Rocks?
I watched it on the way up.
It's pretty funny.
I watched it on the way up. Yeah, you need to.
You got to see that.
You got to watch that. So I watch at Red Rocks.
He's telling a story about how he dropped acid. He goes, this is the perfect place to tell this story.
Yeah, I know.
Colorado.
So, Colorado, by the way, Lamont said something about going up the steps at Red Rocks, and that'll wipe you out. But Red Rocks, we went and saw Wilco at Red Rocks. Man, watching concerts in Red Rocks was just this
Wilco?
Incredible outdoor venue. It's incredible to go watch a concert in Red Rocks. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have been there. Have you ever seen the videos? You've probably seen the videos and not even realize what you were watching.
What?
Where the guys run down the steps. Like, it's these enormously long, and you'll see a guy running down steps as fast as they can, And it's probably, you know, 200 steps, and it's an outdoor seating venue, and you just kept thinking, oh, my gosh, if this guy falls, he's going to wipe out and kill himself.
I've never seen that. I've been to – I saw Bruce Springsteen at Red Rocks.
Oh, you saw Red Rocks.
Oh, yeah, back in the –
it's great, isn't it?
It's the best concert venue in the world.
It's incredible. Because you can still hear great because of the rocks that surround
it. It's the most beautiful,
and you're
beautiful.
Looking out at the sky like it's amazing.
So you saw Wilco?
Yeah, we saw Wilco there. There was some weed there, too.
You think?
A little bit.
There was a Wilco concert at Red Rocks?
Yeah, it was
good Lord. All right, 713-780-3776. You need to talk again about your people over TGS.
TGS Insurance, homeowners insurance that's done the right way. They take A-rated insurance, and what they do is they aggregate it. So TGS Insurance does not do the insurance. They have a group of A-rated insurance companies that they shop for you. Number one, it saves you a tremendous amount of money. And so all you're doing is you're texting the word money to 232323. And what happens is they will take your address, they'll shop it with these companies, and through their algorithm that they have on the back end, they get results back almost instantaneously. It's amazing because within 15 seconds, you are getting your price back. Now, compare that to what you're paying now. And here's what happens. You may get a great bundle with your home and auto, but over the course of the next year and the year after that, your rates continue to raise, and that bundle no longer is worth it. It makes more sense that TGS will help you find a car insurance. You know, they'll help shop that for you as well while they're getting you homeowners insurance that can be an annual savings of $900 or more. Text the word right now. Text the word money to 232323 and shop it against what you're paying, and I think you're going to find a tremendous difference. Money to 232323, tgsinsurance.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, welcome back. NFL camps getting underway. I'm seeing all kinds of, your boy Darius Leonard, you going to call him Shaquille? His mama called him Shaquille.
Shaquille Leonard. Darius Leonard's going by his middle name now, which is Shaquille Leonard. So, yeah, I think you have to if he asked you to.
Well, he said, listen, feelings. If you've been calling me Darius for 4 years. If you forget and you call me Darius, no hard feelings. He just tweeted that out.
That's whatever. I mean, I'm sure I'll call him Darius from time to time. Sure, if you want to be called Shaquille, that's fine. I didn't call
Mama Ocho, call him Shaquille. I'm going to call him Shaquille.
I'm trying to remember if I ever called him Ocho Cinco because Chad Johnson was doing that stupid stuff. And I can't remember, but that caused – so I didn't even know about it, and they put Shaquille Leonard on my defensive rookie. So they had a tweet, and it was my two articles I wrote for Offensive Rookie of the Year, my top 10, and Defensive Rookie of the Year, I rank them. And they had the last four rookies of the year. The NFL put one out, NFL Game Day, and said last four rookies of the year, and it said 2018 – or it said Shaquille Leonard. Oh, I mean, the internet, the Twitter just went crazy. Like, Shaquille Leonard, WTF, you idiot, screwed this up. You got the name wrong. And I'm like, Shaquille Leonard? And I Googled Darius Leonard, and sure enough, just 2 hours earlier, I mean, my editorial staff must have fixed it immediately, or they must have had it immediately, because sure enough, it said he's going by his middle name, Shaquille Leonard.
Yeah, which is okay. Whatever. For announcers, it's going to be difficult for announcers to remember that. Other stuff that is coming. Christian McCaffrey's back. There was a tweet that came out that said which of these backs? There were four backs. Nick Chubb was one of them. Christian McCaffrey was one of them. I think Cook was one of them, and some other and Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Take one out. Which one do you trust the least?
Probably McCaffrey. Can't stay healthy.
Henry's coming off of the foot.
Yeah, I mean, well, Henry, to me, would be the guy that you are really concerned with because you know he's going to fall off the cliff. Historically speaking, this usage rate is such that physically. When he falls off for him, he's going to really fall off. But he's got unusual long speed for a big man like that.
He really does.
It's weird how he can outrun people. But I tell you what, Christian McCaffrey's just hurt a lot.
He's hurt a lot.
So is Dalvin Cook going back to college.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook's hurt a lot, too. Christian McCaffrey's hurt a lot.
Nick Chubb was out. But it's been a couple of years, yeah, but he had the knee injuries.
Nick Chubb feels healthier, though. He was hurt in Georgia. And then you have Alvin Kamara, who also, and he's just going to be suspended.
You can't trust him because
he's
suspended.
To start the year. But I would say, you know, the guy I feel best about would be Nick Chubb.
Okay, if you can guarantee that they're all healthy, which one do you eliminate?
I mean, if I knew all of them were going to be healthy, I would probably take, it's probably for me, McCaffrey or Dalvin Cook.
One you want?
I mean, if I had one.
Which one would you eliminate?
Man, that's so hard. How can you say eliminate Derrick Henry, the touchdown maker?
and 2,000 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would eliminate McCaffrey. I'm not, and you know, Chubb has shared time with running back, so he doesn't have to do it all himself. I guess I would eliminate McCaffrey. But the only reason is because of injury. And if you're telling me you know they're going to be healthy, who would you eliminate? I guess Chubb? I mean, Dalvin Cook is an explosive option who can catch the ball, too.
So Chubb is...
There's some good running backs.
Chubb is one of the best running backs in the league.
I know. That's not really a fair game.
It's not a fair game. It was... But I don't know how you can... You can't trust McCaffrey. You just can't trust him.
I mean, Dalvin Cook... So last year, Dalvin Cook missed time. But Dalvin Cook last year played... And that's the thing. Injuries do matter. Yeah, it was actually a lot less. I mean, Dalvin Cook played 13... He started 13 games last year. Had 249 carries and ran for 1,159 yards, which was 4.7 yards per carry. And he had 224 yards receiving. He had 6 touchdowns rushing this year. But the 2 years before, he had 13 and 16. He had 16 touchdowns in 2020, and he ran for 1,557 yards. But, you know, he had 312 carries in 2020. He comes back the next year. Yards per carry are good at 4.7. But he's got fewer carries and 10 less touchdowns. But he doesn't catch it quite as much anymore. Honestly, McCaffrey's going to catch it for a lot of yards no matter what. No matter what.
Well, and especially with those two quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if you told me he was going to 100% be healthy and everyone's going to be healthy, I might actually say Dalvin Cook out because I don't think he's going to catch it for as much. And I know that Nick Chubb's going to score touchdowns, and I know that Derrick Henry is going to score touchdowns. Now, I'm thinking fantasy football but a little bit, but that's a really hard one. Those are 4 really good options, but it also, you know, you have the healthiest one. The one that I think has the best long-term prognosis maybe is Chubb of all that group. Is David Johnson one? Can I eliminate David Johnson?
Well, yeah, David Johnson.
Can you give me a list that says David Johnson?
Yeah, take David Johnson out of it. 713-780, you got any questions? You're more than welcome. What about the Texans running back situation? Mack comes in as the starter, right? I mean, there's no question, right? Marlon Mack is the starter.
Yeah.
You got to count on him being...
Damian Pierce didn't even start in Florida. I mean, Damian Pierce... didn't even get to 100 carries until the bowl game. He had 89 carries headed into the bowl game.
And he picked up 11?
He had like 20 carries, something like he got to 100 and, yeah, he got to like 108 or something like that.
He hasn't
exactly proven he can handle the load. I don't think he didn't have double-digit carries all year long until he got to the last game.
Didn't he have a big game against the Alabama?
9 carries for 69 yards.
Oh, all right.
Which is a big game against them. 9 carries for 69 yards was, I mean, that's over 7 yards a carry, and that was the most yards that
anybody... Maybe it was the year before that Florida just ran all over. It was the year before Florida ran all over.
Against Alabama?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what Damian Pierce, who we're counting on. Damian Pierce, here's his yardage. This is going to kind of blow you away. You're going to be like, really? That's it? From his freshman year to his senior year, 424 rushing yards, 305, 503. Last year he ran for 574 yards. I take it back with 100 carries. He got to 100 carries.
Wow.
5.7 yards per carry. He scored 13 touchdowns on 100 carries, John. 13 touchdowns on 100 carries.
Well, and we saw.
And he had 3 touchdowns receiving on 19 catches.
Well, and you could watch most of his carries because you did when you were breaking
them
down. I watched
them all. He had 119 touches and 16 touchdowns. That's incredible. That's the thing that caught me. I'm like, wait, this guy's scoring 16 touchdowns on 119 touches? That's almost unheard of. He's not a guy that fumbles. He has good ball security.
Well, how about the
– but he doesn't have the – but Johnny doesn't have the profile of a starter.
No, he doesn't have the wiggle, but he does have the I'm going to run over your face.
He's strong.
He's a strong dude. And secondly, there's not a lot of tread off the tires.
No.
I mean
– I love it. He had 106 carries his junior year and 100 carries his senior year. That's not tread off the tires at all. This guy should be ready to roll. I'm looking at this in 2021 against Alabama. He had 7 carries for 24 yards. The year before, in 2020 against Alabama, he had 2 carries for 2 yards.
Oh,
so yeah, has he ever had 100 yards? He never rushed for 100 yards in his career. So it's a little weird that the Texans got a guy who never ran for 600 yards, never had a 100-yard game in his entire career.
Well, and it was funny at the press conference. And listen.
And yet I'm like, they really got a bargain here. That's what I felt like.
Yeah, no. And Nick was like, listen, he's not our starter. Just so you guys know, he's not starting, okay? So everybody, relax.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. He was pretty adamant that he, you know, we're going to take our time with him. Let's not be crazy here about Damian, but. You know what? We're going to grow into him. He's going to grow into the NFL and all of that stuff. Maybe he was, you know, Nick was pretty, I guess he's pretty realistic about it. What I like about him, and you know, Rex Burkhead actually did a pretty good job in short yardage situations last year. But this guy can be your short yardage guy.
Yeah, he's physical. Marlon Mack too. But this guy's tougher, I think, in between the tackles. Although Marlon proved to me, coming out of college, I didn't think he was tough between the tackles. But he ran tough for the Colts. I think Marlon Mack may surprise people. I think Marlon Mack could be a surprise fantasy option. Is once again, maybe you're running back 3, maybe you're running back 2/3, but Marlon Mack is another guy who is going to be hungry to get out there and get some carries because Jonathan Taylor really has taken all of his carries away the last couple of years. And Marlon had some injury issues, but he's got size, he's got speed, he's not small back. He's 6 feet and like...
And Lovey's going to demand that they run.
Dude, Lovey said he wants a bell cow running back too. Yep. Marlon Mack is 6'2", 212, is what he's listed at. So he's not a small, not a small running back. And I want to once again remind people that Marlon Mack ran for, let me see his career numbers. He had 1,000.
Over 1,000 yards, years ago.
Yeah, he ran for 1,091 yards in 2019 and 8 touchdowns. A year after that. He ran 908 yards, 4.7 yards a carry, and 9 touchdowns. Last year, he only ran for 358 yards, but he's only gotten to the 200 carry mark once, really twice. I mean, he had 195 carries. Last year, just 93.
What about catches when he was doing it?
Marlon Mack's catches, 2, 3, 14, 17, and then 21 last year. So started to go up. Not going to be a big option, but can catch it as a primary back. You know, you want first down. We'll swing pass to him. He'll catch it and get you some yards.
Absolutely.
But he's not been a big – that has not been a big option for him.
829 ESPN 97.5.
Well, here's the disappointing thing, though. Only out of 567 carries, only 2 have gone for 40-plus. That's a low number. Only 2 40-plus. He's had 23 go for 20-plus from an explosive carry standpoint, which is okay. But he has not been as explosive a back
as he really
wanted. But this
is before Ballard fixed that offensive line, though.
Yeah, but not really.
So Jonathan Taylor's been the beneficiary of it.
Because Quentin Nelson – oh, I take it back. Well, I was reading it in the wrong direction. He ran for 908 yards in 2018. So, actually, all those numbers were inverted. But, yeah, 2019 – Quentin Nelson was drafted in 2018 when he ran for 908. Nelson was there when he ran for 1,091. So, yeah, when Ballard fixed the line, it went 4.7, 4.4. He had – 4 carries for 26 yards. Last year, he had just 28 carries. So, in the last 2 years, he's had 32 carries.
No tread off the tire.
No tread off. Yeah, I mean, hey, feed the run game.
Yep.
Which makes me wonder, how much are they throwing with Davis Mills?
Pep's going to run the football. I don't think there's and Lovey's going to demand it. 713-780-3776 is the number. Put this number in your phone right now. 281-488-6238. 281-488 6238. It's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. All right. And it is, I love what Billy and Mary are doing over there. It's Billy. It's Billy's company. Mary, I just love what Mary's doing because she's crazy, that Mary. And you just might talk to Mary when you call in there and you have some problems. Listen, don't put it in your phone so that you know as soon as something happens at your house, because when it does, when the pipes are leaking, when the water doesn't work, when your toilet doesn't work, when the shower all of a sudden is boom, 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 and you're like, what the heck? And you need a plumber. These are your plumber. These guys are the ones that you're going to call. They're going to get to your house in a hurry. I've done this. My buddy had an emergency pipe situation at his house. I told them, here, call this number. They called. They were out right away, and they took care of business.
Yeah, go to thebenchplumbing.com. We've used them on a couple different things. And as a matter of fact, they're coming out tomorrow. Is it today or tomorrow? I got to see where they're coming out to work on our pipes, because we've got to have something changed. They got to dig it up out of the ground and make a change. We've had an issue that has gone on for 2 or 3 years, and this is going to be a huge fix for us. So we're very, very excited. But the great thing is they didn't look to patch it up. They told us exactly what was wrong and why we had had these issues over 3 years. It's not a patch-up company. They want to fix it for you, but do it at a very reasonable rate. And if you don't need something fixed, they don't try to fix it. They're the plumbers you can trust. Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Go to thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
One of our longtime listeners, Lamont, he's on, I think, his 8th Twitter account.
Yeah, he does have different.
It's unbelievable how often. He uses the same avatar, Jimi Hendrix, yeah. So you know who he is. But it's just, you know, every few months he gets suspended.
He says stuff.
He says stuff. Sometimes I think he gets a little, he has a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
He says things sometimes.
But
some of the things he says gets him suspended.
Yeah.
His account gets suspended.
Well, he was at Red Rocks. He might have had some gummies, too. Mm.
It's possible. That's possible if you're in Colorado.
Yeah.
It is different.
Are you as reckless on gummies as you are when you're drinking?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
You're probably deeper in thought, and you probably think stuff is funnier than it, or, you know, hey, I can say this. And then they close your account. But then you open up another one with your Jimi Hendrix picture, your avatar.
Now,
and everybody
said,
knows
Lamont sent a picture. I'm pretty sure Lance blended right in with freaking Utah. I don't know if he's joking or not.
I saw that.
And it's got the blonde wife. Like, you can tell this looks like a little Utah family. Bunch of blonde kids. And I'm like, first of all, my family couldn't be further from a Utah family and we have 4 kids with us. So, I mean, you talk about size of family or whatever, but Mexican wife, that's not really a Utah thing.
No,
I can tell you that.
But you notice that and this happens a lot in Utah too. I think the wife is hotter than the husband, than the husband deserves.
Yeah. Oh, in this picture, for sure. Yeah, I'm with me too. Yeah, that's probably true.
Those people really can raise some good looking women. That happens.
Well, I went into a Starbucks there, and it's like, oh, my God. Like, it was all these teenage to 20-year-old blonde kids. Like, hello, how are you? I said, I'm fine. I'm just going to pick up a mobile order. Would you be Lance? I would. How's your day going? It's early. It's like 8:30, so kind of a
– Yeah,
it's going
that's
okay.
Why I'm here.
And then this guy goes, this guy's wearing like a work – okay, when you see someone working in the streets of Houston with construction or whatever, and they got a hard hat on and they got a vest on of some sort. I saw one of those guys come in. Didn't look the same as Houston. He came in and he goes, "Hey Ben, how we doing today?" And he goes, "Hey, I think his name was Rex or something." He goes, "Hey Rex, it's going good. It's going good. We're busy today." And there's one guy in there that seemed out of place. He's got tats up and down his arm. Although some of these kids did too, who were working there, a couple of them. But this guy was a little more brooding. The barista was a little more brooding. He was making the drinks. He was the one guy with brown hair.
Oh.
Like, you could almost tell, like, where'd you move from? Pittsburgh? What are you doing here?
Putty's
I came to snowboard, but he was, and he wasn't really smiling.
Oh, he wasn't smiling.
No,
okay.
But the other guy.
Well, he's
Ben,
got brown hair. He's not going to smile there.
He wasn't smiling, but Ben, you know, like, hey, Ben. Hey, Rex, how you doing? Great, great. Staying busy today. They knew everybody who came in.
Well,
I was like, it was the friendliest, busiest Starbucks
like
I've ever
in,
seen.
Almost in like a 1960s.
So you know what it felt like? You'll understand
show.
This. It was really a lot like the Partridge Family.
Yeah.
Like they were all working
like
behind the counter.
I said a 1960s
I know.
Television
it felt like
show.
They were working behind the counter. When it's time to change, you've got to rearrange.
Yeah.
I was like, where's the bus that takes you all guys out of here to your concert gig? What is what's going on here?
They wouldn't have a psychedelic bus there in Utah.
No. But I'm just telling you, now Park City was beautiful. You know who told me to go there was Dennis Lindsay.
Did you see
Dennis said,
in
go
Park
there.
City, at the airport there, the Park City, the Granado restaurant?
I told you, we drove to Denver,
drove all the way back.
There's
a Granado restaurant right in the airport in Park City.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Park City, I
get sent that picture every time somebody goes to
I'm telling you, man, Park City's really, really nice too, but it is
white.
It is Blanco.
It's very white.
It's Blanco. So is Colorado. So is Summit County, Colorado too. Yeah. It's fairly blanquito. Not fairly. It's a lot. Which I'm like, doesn't everyone like 75 degrees in the summer? I don't know why everybody doesn't go here, but don't.
It's the secret. A little love for the Needville 5070 Little League Intermediate Team. Mr. Yeah Sports says they are representing Texas East versus New Mexico today at Post Oak at 10 a.m. So that's going to be fun. Might head over there. Winner heads to the World Series. These are the boys that were screwed over by false positive COVID tests last year. Remember that? Do you remember that controversy?
Yeah.
That sucked. Go get them, boys. Get to the World Series. All right, make up for that you got how you got robbed last year.
Yeah,
they was robbed.
They really were.
Yeah, so
a
good
false
luck,
positive,
Needville.
And they sent
well, they
them
can play
anyway.
Some baseball in Needville now.
Yeah, Needville's doing some thing. Here's the Red Rocks. You've seen it. Have you never seen videos of when the guy is like? There's a guy with no shirt on. I don't know. Maybe there's multiple ones where they're running down the steps as fast as they can, and all I can think is, oh my God, you're gonna fall and literally kill yourself. One guy was racing his dog down, and I'm like, this drop is like 400 feet. What are you doing?
What is wrong with
Why
you?
Why would you run down these steps? You're going to 100% break your neck.
Speaking of which, somebody sent a video of a crackhead that was attacking people on a porch.
A real crackhead?
Naked crackhead.
Oh,
that's attacking.
Those are the worst
Name
your top five crackheads. I'm going to say fifth place, worst, is naked crackhead.
Oh, yeah, that's number one. It's
naked. Number two is trying to do things to you for money, crackhead.
Because
they're probably not going to be violent because they're already saying, listen, I'll do this for some money. And you're like, hey, this crackhead's not violent. I'm not saying you want to have that done, but that's probably number two.
Yeah, number three is one tooth crackhead that comes up that's up to your car.
It's all up in your car, yeah. The number one type of crackhead that you'd like to deal with is the new crackhead, probably. Because... newer crackheads still like maybe in denial a little bit and like
just
no,
started
I can break this I
just
can...
started crackhead
yeah.
That one the
yeah.
one I just started
yeah like like an earlier but that's not really a crackhead that's a crack user. You don't become a crackhead until you start making really like decisions that you look back on and say, did I sell my mother's wedding ring?
Well, this naked crackhead on the porch was on a porch, and I don't know how far down it went, but after he was fighting the other guy, and another guy came up the stairs, and he was talking to him, and it looked like he calmed him down, the kid just got up and jumped over the railing, and really looked like he was
going to
kill
himself. I never thought I would ever search naked crackheads.
Yeah. It's I don't know why that was on my...
I've got naked crackhead, and let me tell you what comes up. Go ahead and read. All I typed in is naked crackheads. I'm not making you look at anything. Just tell me where the videos are from for your first two.
Here it is. Here's naked crackhead.
No, Reed. I just searched. Google searched it. Look what the first two that comes up, the videos are. The videos are.
Porn?
Yeah, crackheads naked. Search on xvideos.com.
No, I don't want to
search. And crackhead nude porn videos.
Yeah.
Who wants to watch crackhead porn videos?
Ooh, we got to go. Kyle Ravitch just joined us
oh,
in
sorry,
2 minutes
Carl.
Here
sorry,
on ESPN. 97.5. And 92.5.
Looks like I'm back on
the show.
So
we got that going on. Right now, we got Morley Law going on. The Morley Law Firm. The Morley Law Firm is where you can get out. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to guarantee that you're going to get out of whatever trouble that you're in, but you certainly need representation to help you get out of that trouble. If you've been wrongfully accused or rightfully accused, doesn't matter. If you've been accused, if you've been charged with any criminal offense, well, then the Morley Law Firm is here for you. All you got to do is go to Morley Law, M-O-R-L-E-Y, law.com, MorleyLaw.com, and the Morley Law Firm is going to listen to your whatever it is that you have a problem with. Okay, you might have a problem with a doctor, and you need to sue him for malpractice. You may have a problem because you were in a car accident, and the insurance company isn't helping you. You may just being in an accident, and you've got bills that you have to pay, and you might have to sue. That could happen. All you got to do is go to the Morley Law Firm, tell them what's going on. You may have immigration problems, and the Morley Law Firm can help you out with that as well. Se habla español. Look, it doesn't matter what it is. They've got experience. They're wonderful. All you got to do is go to MorleyLaw.com or make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A guy you know, you'll recognize immediately, especially the voice, because yeah, he is the voice of Sunday Night Baseball.
He's calling Monday's Astros-Red Sox game exclusively on ESPN. ESPN's televising three exclusive games in 5 days. And they're all called by Carl, Eduardo Perez, David Cohn, and Buster Olney. So the crew is going to be there calling them.
You know,
similar
it's big
to the All-Star game. We were watching a crew call that.
You know it's big if Carl Ravitch is on the call, and he's joining us right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Carl, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Johnny Lance, my pleasure to be on. How are you guys today?
We are doing great, man. Our baseball team is pretty good, except when they play the A's. Because they can't. No, sir, what is the deal? They play the Yankees. They can't, the Yankees can't, got no shot against them. Seattle wins 14 in a row. The Astros sweep them, and then they go to Oakland, and they lost to Oakland before the All-Star break as well.
Yeah, look, there's, you know, the Dodgers have some problems with the Nationals. Here's the good news: the fact that you can handle the Yankees and the Mets, that's more important because those are the teams you're likely going to see in October. We're not going to see the A's in October, so I would deal with the road bump today and worry about the mountain that's coming up later this year. That's what I'd be concerned about. But that's just one of those weird things about baseball, one of those quirks where there are certain teams that kind of have your number. I do think there are peaks and valleys. I think teams, like we're seeing over here on the East Coast with the Yankees and Mets, it's like a shot in the arm. It's a reason to get up for a regular season game as we're about to dive into the dog days of August. Sometimes when you're facing those teams that just haven't had a good year, you tend to lay down a little bit.
What do you think about this? Is the most aggressive we've seen the Astros mentioned in terms of being buyers at the trade deadline. A lot of times some of the trades have not, you know, Greinke kind of came out of nowhere. But a lot of times it's been smaller moves. Carl, for the first time, this feels like they are aggressively in pursuit of not only Luis Castillo, but more importantly, Wilson Contreras and also Josh Bell. This feels like a much more aggressive Astro, you know, pre-trade deadline.
Yeah, it's interesting, fellas. I mean, I would say about 3 weeks ago to a month, there was all this speculation that this trade deadline was going to be a dud, that we weren't going to have any action. And I'm not sure if teams have kind of recognized the importance of finishing with one of the two best records. And clearly, the Astros are absolutely in that conversation. The Yankees are very aggressive. The Mets are very aggressive. We'll see if the Braves are, But this year, under this new playoff format, where you can avoid a wild card round, feels like it's, you know, it's even more important than we've seen in years past. And I think the Astros, if I'm the Astros, I think I have one of the best teams in baseball, if not the best. The same way with the Dodgers. We have to make moves to continue to put the foot down on the throat, because if we somehow slip or don't get home field advantage in our league championship series, then that could be a deciding factor. And, yes, all of those great teams who have been really good this year are trying to make themselves better aggressively. I mean, Juan Soto's name is all over the place with some of the best teams, the The Dodgers and Yankees, you know, are rumored in the Juan Soto conversation. The Mets would be wise to try, although it seems unlikely that they would trade him within the division. But I think you're absolutely right that this is a more aggressive approach from the teams that historically would just maybe try to get healthy as they move through August and September so that they're ready for October.
Carl Ravitch, ESPN, with us here on ESPN 97.5. He's going to be doing the Red Sox-Astros game exclusively. What is it, 3 games in 5 days you're going to be doing? Is that, and you got to be in San Francisco that weekend, right?
Yeah, so we, I'd say since the draft through the trade deadline Tuesday, it's been a bit of a kind of a Ferris wheel. We can't get off of it. It's been great. We've seen a lot of teams. But, yeah, that weekend, we are in San Francisco for our game on Sunday, fly a red-eye to Houston on Monday, and then wake up early and get back to Bristol to do the trade deadline show on Tuesday. That's sort of the finish line. We're trying to rip that rope and look forward to, you know, having a more regular Sunday night schedule. But boy, I mean, the draft was unbelievable. It was great to see some of the kids of the major leaguers. The Derby was phenomenal. I wish your guy Yordan was healthy enough to participate, because that's a legit home run guy in Major League Baseball. And the All-Star game was great. So yeah, we carry on. There's nobody complaining on our end. We're honored. This is a privilege to be doing these games.
No, but Julio Rodriguez, did he pay the price for?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, he homered last night. It may be that you know, his style, his not being familiar with having to swing that often, that hard, that many times, may have tweaked his wrist. I don't know. I mean, it feels like, I don't know if you play tennis or golf or whatever it is you do. If you haven't done something and you go to a driving range and hit 1,000 golf balls, you're going to wake up bruised and feeling bad and your blisters. And maybe it was something with Julio, but, you know, Alonso and Soto, there have been great examples of guys that have somehow used the home run derby to trampoline themselves into a really great second half. I hope that's not the case. I hope it doesn't prohibit him from doing it in the future, especially next year in Seattle. But sure, I mean, I think anytime you do something repetitively at such a high level, there's a chance that something's going to tweak. Absolutely.
Yeah, one thing I don't want to see is I don't want to see the home run derby become the NBA All-Star, the dunk contest where the best players don't participate. You want to, you know, you want them to keep participating. So you want some of the best players who participate to also go out there and have big second halves of the year, just from a selfish standpoint.
Yeah.
Carl Ravitch joins us right now from ESPN and baseball. I want to ask you about Justin Verlander, because I know it's kind of ho-hum, it seems like. This isn't normal for a pitcher to miss 2 years and do this. This is not a normal thing, especially at his age. Do we just take for granted how great Justin Verlander is, especially in the wake of 2 straight years of missing baseball?
Well, I think you prefaced it by saying it's not normal, and I think the obvious answer is neither is he. You know, he's never been a normal pitcher. He's always been top of the rotation guy. And to his credit, he's a rehab guy. He works hard. Heck, I remember sitting with him in Detroit when he was dealing with that sort of mid stomach issue, and it just wouldn't go away, and it really just sort of sucked the life out of his arm and his abilities. But when you get into the injuries he's had and modern medicine allows you to repair them and then you rehab them, it's like adding, you know, taking the battery out of a car, putting a new battery in, and all of a sudden it runs like it did and it's explosive. And how many times have guys gotten injured just during a regular season, taken 2 or 3 weeks off, come back and set the world on fire? In his case, he took a couple years to get back, but now that he's back, you know, he looks like Detroit Tigers Justin Verlander. He's phenomenal, and I think sometimes when we see veteran pitchers maybe lose a tick of velocity but still be as effective, you assign that to their ability to recognize hitters, to their experience. There's a lot of experience for Justin Verlander. So not only does he have the weapons, but he's got the intelligence and the history to know how to use them. And he's not just rear back and throw 99, though he certainly seems to have the ability to do that. He's become a pitcher who now has all the tools in his belt that you'd love to have when you were 25 or 26 with the mentality and mindset of a veteran. It's a dangerous combination.
Speaking of a dangerous combination, Carl Ravitch with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And if DeGrom comes back with Scherzer and DeGrom and then Bassett and Carrasco, that is as good as it gets.
On paper.
As long as DeGrom can stay healthy. And Carl, it's like he's a little league, like that big kid in Little League that just mows everybody down.
He has been. I mean, we'll see the Mets again tonight. We just saw them on Sunday. I think there's some trepidation and hesitation for that organization, just given the fact that he's been close. We've seen his rehab starts where he strikes out so many, and he throws at 100 miles an hour. And yet there's sort of this lingering, well, not exactly ready to go, or teetering on coming back, but. And I think that leads the Mets and many of the people within the organization to press pause on the potential of Scherzer DeGrom. And that was the whole point coming into this year, is you were going to have Scherzer DeGrom. I remember being with Buck Showalter at spring training, and I said, so who are the keys here? Beside the obvious of Jacob and Max, and he said Carlos Carrasco is going to be a huge part of this thing. And believe it or not, he said Luis Guillorme, because he plays great defense and he's a Buck Showalter type player. But in the case of those two, it would be wonderful. It would be great for baseball. It would present a pain in the butt for everybody else. But I think it puts them on par, you know, with the Dodgers, who have depth, and they get Dustin May back. I think your pitching staff, especially the starters, are unbelievable and not talked about enough, just for the fact that they go out there and give you between 5 and 7 innings almost on a nightly basis. The Padres are another team that has a really good staff, and the Atlanta Braves. You know, there are certain teams, in my opinion, that have separated themselves or will because of the arms that they have, and the Astros are absolutely in that conversation. And sure, the Mets would be with DeGrom. The Mets without DeGrom have put up unbelievable pitching numbers. That's the hardest thing to understand. They have not had Jacob DeGrom all year. And when you look at the New York Mets and their ERA and their WHIP and all those things, they're second in strikeouts, they're sixth in ERA, and they're fifth in WHIP without Jacob DeGrom. That's a joke. That's ridiculous.
That's crazy. Carl, you're coming up on 30 years at ESPN, which is incredible to stay at one place, especially in this day and age where you have so much competition and you got opportunities to move, or, you know, the market just kind of prices you out or ages you out. I mean, that's just kind of the reality. And your 30 years is incredible there. I am curious, and congratulations, by the way, your son Sam is also in the same business. He's a play-by-play announcer as well, does a lot of college baseball. I'm curious, though, you do college basketball and Major League Baseball. One is a storytelling, you know, you've got to be a storyteller and have all the little tidbits of information to carry through a long-form broadcast of baseball. And basketball is not that way, right? I mean, how different is that doing a play-by-play game for Major League Baseball and college basketball play-by-play?
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And maybe I don't make enough money. I haven't priced myself out. I should get a new agent. that's a good point. you know, that's a good question. And I'll be honest with you. My style is similar in both, in that I will use my analyst. I will prod my analyst. I will listen to my analyst. In both the baseball booth and whether it's the Major League booth with Eduardo and Coney, whether it's a Little League booth with Kyle Peterson or Jessica Mendoza, whether it's a college booth with Ben McDonald or Chris Burke, or college basketball with Jimmy Dykes. I make it very clear to the analyst that I am not the star here at all. I don't want to be. This isn't about me. This is about... it's about the teams and the players that are on the field, and then it's about your own experiences that you can help relate to the viewer at home. So I would say that as a play-by-play guy now, I defer to the analyst. I try to get out of the way. I will hear what they say, and if they open up a door, I'll kind of force them down that door. Or if they create some conversation that I had never anticipated, I'll go there. If it's baseball or basketball, I mean, one of the great college basketball experiences we ever had was, I think, a Tennessee-Vanderbilt SEC game at Vanderbilt. Tennessee was destroying them. This was the Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Bowden-Bone type teams. They were destroying them. And somehow we got on the fact that Jimmy Dykes was once an aspiring country music singer. People in the truck heard us having this conversation in a blowout game, and actually found the record that Jimmy Dykes had made when he was trying to become a musician, and started to play that. I mean, we played that on that telecast. It was as memorable a college basketball game because of that as any basketball game, per se, was, say, between Kentucky and Alabama. So I look for those things. I think baseball certainly provides the opportunity to storytell. I mean, how many times do you go to a baseball game and all you do is talk about the pitches, the hits, the strikes? You don't. I mean, you get into haircuts and restaurants and movies and relationships and cars and weather. That's what a baseball booth, I think, should be, and it's certainly with the attention paid to the game itself. But, boy, I hope nobody goes. I wouldn't want to sit next to the guy or woman that goes to a baseball game and says, let's break down every single pitch. I leave in the third inning.
Absolutely. Is baseball your favorite gig?
It's my favorite because there's so much fun in it. I mean, look, the Little League World Series to me is I wish all of baseball could be that way, where you take it seriously but you don't take it too seriously. I think it was a Buck Showalter quote about players that he gets, and it's that you don't take yourself too seriously, but you take the game seriously. I think it was a brilliant way to look at what we do in this field. We're human. We make mistakes. We try to anticipate what might be an interesting conversation for people, and baseball certainly affords that opportunity with the number of foul balls and delays, et cetera. It may change with some rule changes, but it certainly affords that opportunity. It allows us to get into who David Cohn is as a person. I mean, he's an interesting guy. He's got 5 World Series rings, and he's got a perfect game and a Cy Young, and he's got a family. I mean, there are things that I think people are interested in. If you're letting us in your living rooms, you kind of want to know who the person is. You're not going to let many strangers in there, so let's make sure that the people you're willing to allow into your houses and onto your tablets, you're comfortable with. And that's always the goal, and I really fall back on the analyst, no matter what sport I'm doing, to make it conversational.
That's Carl Ravitch going to be here for the Red Sox game. And after the Giants, that's Monday, Giants Sunday, then here on the Red Eye Monday for the Astros Red Sox, and then the trade deadline. So busy, busy, busy. Man, we appreciate you taking time out to hang with us, and we really appreciate it. Have fun while you're here in Houston, as short as it's going to be. Have as good a time as you can.
Will do. We'll see what the Red Sox look like when the Astros get them.
Oh, all right.
They're going to be depleted with half their team. But thanks for having me. It's great to be on with you guys, and it's going to be fun. We may see you again late October. The Astros are a great team.
Yeah, we'd love to catch up again.
Yeah, come on back on before the Astros run through the American League again, will you?
Will do.
All right, there's Carl Ravitch right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good stuff. I love talking baseball. That guy. He's really, really good.
Yeah.
He's just good at everything he does.
Yeah.
Just really good. All right, time for you, my friend, to talk a little bit about a little tequila.
Yeah, let's talk about Maestro de Bell. I missed it when I was on the road on vacation. I wasn't in a lot of spots where I'd be drinking. That's the thing. And Maestro de Bell, I'm glad to get back home because I've got something waiting for me today. As a matter of fact, that I'm going to make a tequila cocktail that I've been a big fan of over the last half year, and I'm gonna use Maestro de Bell. I'm gonna use the silver that I have. I've got a silver, a smoked silver. There's the añejo. There's so many different types of tequilas, but just know this: Maestro de Bell is run by 11 generations of tequila makers. So there is a process that is their gold standard. They use 100% pure agave, and so the consistency, the quality, and the different flavor profiles that you get from the variety of tequilas made by Maestro de Bell in Tequila Mexico is going to blow you away. And it is a great top-shelf type tequila that doesn't just crush you with price point. They've got a very good price point, and it's an outstanding quality of tequila. So make sure that you find yours with Maestro de Bell. They are located wherever fine liquors are sold. Maestro de Bell.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.